Well, one of these young fellows was in the machine systems area, and he started to work to develop a miniature machine laboratory. Instead of what we had had, a machine standing 3 and 4 feet high, and in students, you'd have a machine here, running a machine halfway across the lab, that sort of thing. But these miniature machines, which were the size of 8 horsepower motors, maybe 5 inches in diameter, you could put the whole system right on a benchtop. And post-war, there was auxiliary gearing and boards and whatnot to mount these things on. And we got developed a torque meter, which made possible measurement of shaft torque that had never been done before. He introduced that in these miniature laboratories, which went over great guns and had been adopted across the country pretty universally. And the other department heads saw what was being done. Previously, I had the civils arguing, well, you can't model a bridge. How do you model a riveted joint? Well, I'd point out to them, you didn't rivet joints anymore anyway, you weld them. But pretty soon, I discovered here was a 6-foot-long bridge made out of aluminum sections in the structures laboratory with riveted joints. And so they were going to model, too. And the mechanical engineers found they could buy a 1-cylinder internal combustion engine designed for laboratory work, experimental work. It's an octane measuring equipment. And Westinghouse came out with a small steam turbine power plant that occupied about 6 or 8 square feet of floor space, load, everything. So this infected the whole college. They're doing it miniature. And the chemical engineers, they went in for glass miniature equipment where you could see the liquid boiling in there in the tube, and you could see what was actually going on. Well, this paid off then when we came to design a new engineering building in 60, finally, because the electricals, for instance, instead of 10,000 square feet, they got along with 600 square feet for their machinery laboratory and the other departments correspondingly, so that we didn't have to use a lot of square footage for laboratories. Also, I think over the years, laboratory has less importance as we have been going to more abstract forms of engineering education. I think that schools have realized that they can't catch industry. They can't duplicate industry because things are too big and too expensive. This was demonstrated by the high voltage laboratories that were always built at schools before the war. And I know in 1929, I saw the Ohio Brass Laboratory outdoors, $3 million. No school could afford that. And after the war, Fred Terman once asked me if I could use a high voltage lab. He had one he'd give away. What do you do with it? Because you cannot compete with the millions of dollars that industry puts in some of these things. And so our small scale development was appropriate to the day, saving money, saving space. And the students appeared to be much more interested because they could see the whole thing there in front of them. And it did really make possible the putting of the whole college into one building. It was filled right then, and I told the president that we had to have relief. Well, they're going to get some next year. That's about the usual speed since 1962 to now, 15 years. But there's values in putting the college all in one building, too. It used to be the pattern that you had 10 departments, you had 10 buildings. This is still true on a number of schools around the country. 10 departments is too much for a dean to handle anyway, but there are some schools with 15 and 17 departments. My idea is that we will see retreats from these multitudinous colleges, department colleges, and we'll see some consolidations. The mechanics people are concerned because they're really a part of civil engineering. And my ECPD accreditation at one time criticized me for that. Well, my predecessor in 1950 had split the mechanics department off the civil engineering department. Set up in 1950 a mechanics department. In 1900, this would have been an appropriate move.
Wouldn't have.
It would have been, but not in 1950. Because then in 1954, in the ECPD inspection, they said, your civil engineering department is too highly applied. Well, he had split the theoretical mechanics people off, so what did you have left? Sure, they were applied. I would like to have put them back together, but I had two department heads and only needed one. What do? You let the thing go, and so you build back some more theoretical people in civil that you don't need.
Some duplication.
Some duplication. These are the problems you get into there when a predecessor didn't see what was the situation. I had seen in Illinois, we had a strong theoretical civil department, we had a strong theoretical applied mechanics department, we didn't need both of them. They could have been tied together, or one department, but history had done this.